All right, Psalm 34:8. This is a verse we've heard many times. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 100:5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon him. We're talking about the attributes of God. The first thing we've got to talk about is the fact that God's good. Your faith's got to be based upon God himself. And you know, not on creeds or religions or any other person, thing, or idea. Now, Gary talked this morning about the cornerstone of the church, which is Christ. He has to be the foundation. He has to be the beginning of your foundation. Not church, not denomination, not creed, not doctrine. Nothing else is the foundation that you start with. Christ, the chief cornerstone. Your faith has to be based upon God himself. Now that's important. I've said to you a lot of times, a lot of people, the way it looks to me, and I believe it's right, a lot of people are trusting their faith, not Christ. That's right. Yes, sir. Their confidence and their assurance is solely based on their opinion of their faith. Mm-hmm. How they judge their faith to be. If it's strong enough, if it's enduring enough, that's what their hope, that's where their hope lies in. If I can keep believing, and if I believe in my faith, and there's where the devil tricks a lot of people. Your faith has to be in Christ. Your hope has to be in God alone, not in your faith. You got to believe in him, not in you. You got to believe in him, not in anything else, not in yourself, not in anything that you do, any opinion that you have, anything that you know. Everything changes but God, and he never changes. That's why your faith must be anchored and start with him. It's real important. Any faith that relies on anything that changes is going to eventually shipwreck, because everything and everybody changes except God. There's the only thing in the universe, only one thing that never changes, and that's God. So your faith has to be there. Faith has got to find an anchor, and there's no anchor that'll hold but God. God's the only thing that you can put your anchor in that's not going to move on you. It's not going to change on you. We got to know the truth about God. And the only way to find the truth about God is in his word right here that you're holding in your hand. I don't believe anybody here has got an NIV or an ESV or anything else, do you? You'd be ashamed to raise your hand if you did, wouldn't you? Yeah. You got a King James Bible, you got the preserved word of God. God preserved it for you to this very day. It's the way you know God. You know about God. We talked last week about the knowledge of God. And that's how we started on this attributes of God. We've got to get some basic attributes of God nailed down for certain in our hearts in order to lay the foundation for our faith. Now, do you understand? You following me here? I'm kind of connecting to what I talked about last week, the knowledge of God. You have to have a knowledge of God that's true and right, not something you've imagined, not something that somebody else has imagined, not what you desire him to be or think him to be. It's got to be what he really is. And the only way you know what he really is like is from the word of God. No matter how much you want him to be a certain way or have certain attributes, or interpret those attributes to suit you, it can't be. You've got to, it's an anchor that will not hold. Your faith has to be anchored in the truth about God. We've got to have basic attributes of God. That's what we're preaching about here. These things we're going to talk about, the attributes of God, they're basic. You've got to believe this about God, or your faith will not stand the test. No, sir. We read this morning in Deuteronomy, and he mentioned temptations. And I told her, you know, people just totally miss that. Everybody's got this idea temptation is only the enticement to sin, to evil, through the lust of your flesh. That's all everybody thinks temptation is. And that's not what it is at all. I told her the root word there, look at it. It's temp. What's a tempest? It's a storm. You look up the word. Look up the word temptation. It means trial. It means test. It means trouble that puts everything to the test. And so you're not going to stand that test if you're not anchored in truth. Truth about what? Truth about God. Yes, right. First. One of the basic attributes of God who never changes is that He's good. And that's why we read these verses here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. For Thou, Lord, art good. And we can just find verse after verse after verse in the Bible that tells us that and states it over and over. God is good. Now, you got to believe that about God. You are not going to continue. And you're going to be like, if at the very best, you're going to be like Lot's wife we talked about this morning. Make it to the very last. Get within sight of home and look back and lose it all. You got to believe these things about God. God's good all the time. He's always good. He's good all the time. For the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His work. Psalm 145, verse 9. God is good in all His acts and in His character. Everything He does, everything He is, can be described by one word, good. That's one word that describes it. He's much more than good, but that's what we're talking about tonight. When it's not evil, it's not bad. There's nothing in God like that at all. No matter what you go back and read about the bloodshed and how He put people to death and He destroyed nations, destroyed cities like we talked about this morning. He destroyed the whole world one time. Now, how are you going to deal with that? Well, here's the way I deal with it. I know God is good. So I know that what He did was good. What if He hadn't done it? You'd understand why it was good that He did that. That's why that I've got hope, because I know He's good and He's watching everything that's happening right now, and it's not going to fly because God is good. And He's not on the side of all this evil that we see everywhere and all this darkness. You can bank on the fact that a good God in heaven is not going to let it by. He's going to do something about it. Because He's good. And this is not good, what's going on. And He's the one that's in control. So mark it down. Just wait and see if God don't move and do something about it. Because He's good. What He does is always good. And in order for us to have true faith in God, we got to understand and believe that He is always good. Even when what He does is not agreeable to us. Now, everything that happens to us in our life, it's hard for us to say this is good, because it's not always good. Sometimes it's real bad, and sometimes it hurts real bad. Sometimes it takes away from us real bad. Jacob went away halting on his thigh. Wasn't the same. Wasn't never the same. But he was much, much better for it. Yes, sir. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. For Paul, from his point of view, that was not good. But God said it was. And therefore, Paul was much better for it. And since Paul believed what I believe tonight, and what I'm telling you that you must believe, he believed that God was good, and he said, therefore, I will most gladly suffer. You know, I'll gladly bear it because God is good. And he says this is going to be good. It's not good for me right now, but right now don't really matter that much. Because there's a God in heaven who's working a greater plan than I can see from where I'm sitting. And so I'll just trust him. Because he's good and I know he's good. It gets you through everything, knowing that God is good. Just always remember that. No matter how dark it is, no matter how gloomy the outlook is, remember that God is always good. God's always good even when it appears that he's not. The attribute of God that we're talking about here can never be on trial in our hearts. It just can't be. You can't question God's goodness. There's no basis for faith at all. And absolutely no basis for saving faith. When God is on trial according to the circumstances in your life and whether they please you well or not. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you can't just be, oh, God's so good when everything's wonderful for you and everything, all the bills are paid and the money's coming in and you're healthy and everybody around you's good. You can't just say, praise God, God's so good. And then soon as the boat rocks a little bit, you go to saying, well, has God forsaken us? God don't care. He must not care for us. He's forgotten us. You read that in the Bible too, don't you? How long will thou forget us, O God? Carest thou not that we perish? Oh, ye of little faith. Breaks God's heart when we question his very character and what he is. When it's always on trial, why should God be on trial? Why should he have to prove to us over and over and over what he's like? When he's written it down in his word and he's given us 6,000 years of human history and experience to look at, that testifies that God is good. Why should he have to prove it to piddly little me or you because of some little problem or difficulty or sorrow in my life? He's got to prove it all over to me again. No, we walk by faith, not by sight. I've got to believe God and trust God and trust in who he is and what he's like according to the word of God. That's what faith is. That's what saving faith is. By knowing God, by knowing that God is always good, we can trust him with everything that comes into our lives. And that's just the basic thing I'm saying here tonight. That's the whole center of it all and the heart of it all. God's doing a work in our lives. And he's making something out of us. And when God is creating, he's making something very good. He did it when he created all things. If he's making something out of you, he's doing a good job. And he's making something good. He has something in mind that's not just good, but very good. That's always God's goal. That's what his aim is. And so, knowing that, why can't we just let him have his way? Why can't we just submit ourselves unto him and trust him? Why can't we just make our burnt offering? And begin right there. And just keep on with it. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It's not been very long since we were there and preached about that. Everything that God does, everything that he is good. And when you know that God's good and all that he does is good, then you can be satisfied with what he does in your life. You hear me there? If you really believe that God's good, then when he subtracts from you a little bit, when he dumps a load on you that you don't think you can handle, you can trust him. If you really believe that God's good before that happens, when that happens, you're still going to believe he's good. You're going to get your strength and you're going to be able to persevere because you already know that God is good. Are you waiting to find out if He's good or not? Are you still waiting to state your real opinion about that? In your heart, I'm talking about. I know everybody will say, well, God's good. Everybody knows God's good. Yeah, I know God's good. It's easy to say, but do you really believe it? Is it the foundation of your faith? I mean, have you got your faith on the solid foundation of these things we're talking about? This, the way God really is, who He really is, what He's really like. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verse 14. That's just a statement of fact. My people, says God, shall be satisfied with my goodness. In poverty and riches and sickness and health, for better, worse, my people be satisfied with my goodness. Are you one of God's people? Are you satisfied with His goodness? Are you one that murmurs and complains when things are a little bit rough? Or things ain't just exactly how you want them? Good thing to think about right there. Our confidence is in the goodness of God. And it shapes the way we perceive and deal with the things that happen in our lives and in the lives of others. A lot of people have trouble with God because of the things they see happening in the lives of other people. They blame God. They lay charges upon God. They imagine that they're wiser than God. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, and there's a lot of things. We could go on all night about the different things that we look at and it just don't look just to us. This doesn't look like it's right. But God lets it happen anyway. Why? How's that? There's not a person in here that ain't guilty of saying in your heart or out of your mouth or both. You know, why would God let that happen? Why would God do that? Why would God give children to people that are going to beat them and murder them? Like we were talking about today, somebody mentioned that, some little baby down at the Bluff had brought. And that ain't the first one. It ain't been a few months ago to some people we knew. Same thing. Some worthless subhuman beat a baby to death. Why would God give babies to people like that and then withhold them from people who would love them and take care of them and cherish them? Is that hard for you? Well, you better believe it's hard to understand from where we're sitting it is. Well, do you believe God's good or not? Then you got to leave that with God. We're not running the universe. God is. We don't make those choices. Whether people are born or whether they die, that's not our choices. If we got to choose, boy, things would be a lot different. Reckon we could run this thing better than God's doing? No, sir. Well, then we shouldn't even entertain things like that. And when the devil throws that up at you, you ought to just fall back on the goodness of God and the other attributes of God that we're going to talk about. So it's real important that you know God and know what He's like from the Word of God, what He has said about Himself and what He's proven through the ages and the examples that He's left for us in dealing with people all through the ages. You ought to know, and this is the starting place that you ought to know about God. You ought to know He's good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 there. Fruit of the Spirit. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All right, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. And then the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then da-da-da-da-da. Do you hear that other word in there? Do you hear that word? Goodness. God's good. The fruit of the Spirit is good. Goodness. If God's good, He makes those who know Him and are born of Him, He makes them good too. If you're adopted in His family, if you're regenerated and reborn, and you become a child of God, a son of God, you're good too. All the time. What about that? Now that's the way it is. Fruit of the Spirit's goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. It rubs off on you. It does that even between people. You get around somebody that's kind and it'll just take the edge off of your old hard, sharp tongue and hateful mind and thoughts. Kindness does that. Goodness in a person does that to another person. It just kind of unloads their guns. And that's what God does. When you get around God, that's what it does to you too. Makes you humble. Makes you look at other people differently. Makes you start looking at them like God does. Makes you good. Good instead of evil. Good instead of mean. Good instead of selfish. Good instead of hateful. And evil thinking. And accusing. And condemning. Makes you good. That's the old-fashioned kind of gospel that used to be preached and everybody understood from the get-go. There was more to this than just a free ticket to heaven. A free ticket out of hell. There was more to it than that. Being saved meant you was going to be a good person. You was going to be like God. You was going to live for God. Be like Him, because everybody knew God was holy, God was just, God was good, and all these other things. Everybody's used to know that, but now He's a cool dude. He's a good old boy. He's the great Santa Claus in the sky. Like I think Gary said this morning too, Christianity is the most versatile religion. You can be anything and still be a Christian. Boy, ain't that the truth. Getting more versatile all the time. Well, that's not real Christianity. That's idolatry, just like worshiping monkeys and stars and rocks and statues and everything else, and fish, and monsters, and animals, and cows. That's the same deal. Same deal, basically. It's not real Christianity. Real Christianity brings you into a knowledge of God. That's where it starts. And that's where faith is based, in what God is, not what we make Him to be. Goodness is kindness, benevolence. It's tenderness, goodness. Goodness is. You don't think about anything else. That's what it is. But goodness is also that which makes something of value. And it's the measure of perfection. You know, we say, well, that's a good one. Or that's not a good one because it has a blemish or something wrong with it. See, you understand what I'm saying to you? God's good. And that goodness produces something. You know, it's about producing something. It makes something of value. Goodness does. That's why you ought to think about people that are throwaway people. That's why you ought to have compassion on the lost in that sense of the word. You ought to look at them like Jesus looked at them. You know, we talked this morning about Lot's wife, and you know, there's a place where you it's your last draw with God. I mean, it's the final thing. That's the end. I mean, you cross the line. There's nothing else to be done. There's no remedy. You're done. But that don't mean God's not good. That don't mean that God don't have compassion on you. He don't love you. God so loved the world. Yes, He does. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come for the righteous. He came to save sinners. And so we ought to look at Him like that. It's something of value that's lost. Jesus looked at me and He looked at you when we were lost in the darkness. And He saw what we could be. He didn't see what we were. Just like He did with Mary Magdalene, with all the rest of them. the blind man, the leper, everybody. Jesus saw them restored and whole by faith. That's faith. Goodness. How did he treat them? He was good to them. It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. It's not the wrath of God that leads men to repent. It's the goodness of God. It works. It really does. We all know very well what it takes to be considered a good person. It's amazing how humanity is, how that sin blinds you to the fact that being good has much more power and influence over others. It'll bring to you everything that you want, but you try to get it by being mean instead of good, by being bad instead of good, by having your way instead of just being good. Asserting yourself, that's the world's theme, that's their motto. The thing they go with is, have it your way. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do as I please. That's not good. You're going to trample on somebody else that way. You're going to be mean to somebody. You're going to be unjust to somebody. You're going to be unmerciful to somebody. You're going to walk over somebody to do that. Goodness don't do that. We don't have a problem at all loving a good person. That's easy, isn't it? The reason so many people have trouble loving and trusting God is that they don't see all that He's doing. And they judge Him like they judge another person. That's one of the things that we're bad about. We're really bad about. We fail there very much because we judge people. We discern them by one little thing in their life. Or at the very most, just a partial. We don't see everybody else. You don't know what's going on in anybody's life, really. Even ones close to you really don't know what's going on in their mind, in their heart, in their life, the problems they have, the things they're dealing with, the way the devil's pounding on them. You don't know. And we judge them good or bad with that. You know, and we're pretty harsh about it. We're pretty harsh about it. And we do God the same way. We judge God by just singular circumstances. A day at a time. You know, you have a bad day and boy, God, you don't feel so sweet about God, do you? Something bad happened to you. Lose some money, have a hard time, somebody mean to you, and you just, boy, God, you just don't care much about Him today. Or right now, it just don't seem like God's with me. God's always. He don't change. When He said, I'll be with you always, that's what He meant. Faith has to embrace that and believe it and cling to it, no matter what. We can't judge God like we judge other people, and we shouldn't judge other people that way either. We ought to realize we don't see what's going on. We don't know what all's going on. We don't know the whys and wherefores of why they said that, why they're doing that, what's going on. So we need to walk easy with other people. And we need to be very careful about how our opinion of God changes. Why should our opinion change? Why should our attitude toward God change when He don't change? What's changing? Me. My faith is not steady. My faith is not grounded good. You know? There's light flickers here. You know what's wrong with it? There's something wrong in there. There's a bad connection. There's a bad resistor or something in that light bulb. Since we got all these fancy light bulbs now, but when you turn it on, it flickers, 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 flickers. It don't just shine bright, steady. After it warms up a little bit, it does. But every once in a while, even after it's warm, it'll start that stuff. Is your faith like that? Has it got a short in it somewhere? Or are you plugged in good and solid? I mean, you got a steady current there. Isn't it amazing how people can so easily trust a doctor with a knife to cut on them and take their life in his hands, but to have trouble trusting God, who's always good and never wrong? He makes no mistakes. He doeth all things well. Whatever he says to you, do it. Because you can trust him. But you'll put your very life in the hands of a man that might have been out drinking the hour before he was there with a knife in his hand. Happens a lot. Put your life in the hands of a man, let him take a knife to you, who doesn't even know you and doesn't care a thing about you. You're just a big hunk of meat laying there to him. Yeah, and then you pay him big money to do it too. But you'll climb in an airplane and trust pilot to fly you wherever you're going to go. I saw there on the news, they said the passengers were just thrilled to death because they found out the pilots of the airplane, the co-pilot and the pilot, were related to one another. It's a mother and daughter flying the airplane. Well, you just say whatever you want. I'd have been a little bit nervous. Yeah. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I just know some things and understand things. Now, they might be great pilots, but what if something goes wrong? Yeah, that's the big question, see. And see, I don't have to worry about that with God. I can have full confidence in him. But I also know something about human nature and how everything is. We were talking last night about today, somebody said something about, you know, these babies and how, you know, these little girl babies, they're just fluff and soft, and little boys just like a little piece of leather, you know. I mean, there's a little big difference in a male and female. God made us that way. That's good, because he's good. And he did all things good. And when he did that, he said, this is very good. But we won't leave it that way. We think we can do better. We can make them the same. We can make the same what God made different. We can mix it all up and change places with them. The way God set it up, we can just change it if we want to, and it'll work better. Men are fools. And anybody who believes that nonsense is a fool. I'll tell you right to your face. Yep. Yes, sir. Amen. Glory to God. God's good. Now, I just believe God's ways are good, always. His ways are always the best, and we ought to stick with them instead of coming up with our own. Like most of God's attributes, his goodness is best seen by looking back in time. We got so much proof that God is so good. There's no reason whatsoever for us to doubt it. And if you doubt it, it's because you just don't know much about God. You've never learned much about God. You've not read your Bible very much. And you've not tried to find out about God. This whole book's about him. Reveals his nature, his character, how he is, what he is, his mind. It reveals it to us. And you can't study and read this book without knowing some things about God. There's been a lot of people through the years that set about to prove that this book is a book of myths and stories that was written by men. Do you ever wonder why? You know, I've heard a lot of people say, I don't believe that book because it's written by men. But they believe Darwin's book. And I'd like for somebody to ask me that again. I'd say, well, you believe Darwin's book? Well, of course they do. Well, who wrote that? They can believe what's written by one man, but they can't believe what's written by all of these men, even if it was men. But it's not. It's God is the author of this book. If men will not praise God for his goodness, then they'll not praise him for any of his other attributes. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. If you read Psalm 107, you'll read that over and over and over and over again in that psalm. He says it every 2 or 3 verses. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works toward the children of men. We experience his goodness in our hearts and in our earthly lives. Don't you? Do you? Have you got far enough along in life yet that you look around you and you just can't believe how good God's been to you? It ain't money, it ain't property, it ain't things. The blessings in life that God's been good to you. And let me tell you, I don't care who you are or what you might have accomplished or think you've accomplished. These most successful people that think they're held up as the most successful people. When it comes to that point, you realize when you look around you and you see your family and you see your children and you see your grandchildren and you hear them sing and you hear them as they talk and begin to really understand about God and the things of God and give God some glory, what overcomes you is this. You think, how in the world could God have done this in spite of me? All you can think of, the only thing that comes to your mind that floats up above everything else is God is so good. He's so wonderful. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. You ought to be thankful for everything God. You ought to count your blessings and name them one by one. And you ought to be thankful that you wasn't born on the other side of the world in some jungle and lived as a naked savage and never heard nothing about God. You ought to be thankful you wasn't born in some Muslim country and held in darkness. You ought to marvel at the goodness of God in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how crippled you are. I don't care how much hardship you've had. How bad your situation is, it don't matter how bad it is. Some of the worst situations that I've ever seen people in are some of the same situations where I've seen them praise God the most for His goodness. I've seen people laying flat on their back in a bed and never going to get up again and sit there and weep and talk about how good God is. So somebody's still on their feet and still breathing and still able to get up and go, you ought to be thanking God for His goodness. Because if He gives you another day to live, He's good. Far better, far more good to us than we deserve. We don't deserve another day. We don't deserve another thing. And for Him to keep on giving and being good to us is, man, it's amazing. Amazing. It's a wonderful thing. We see His goodness in the hearts and lives of others. It's a good thing. If you look around, you can see God's goodness to other people also. I do. Oh, I do. I look for it more than I used to. Because the older you get, that's just kind of how it is. You start looking for the good things instead of focusing on all the bad things. You start looking for the bright spots. Those who do not praise God for His goodness simply don't believe that He's good. Now, that's just all there is to it. If you're not ever overcome, even by yourself, sitting alone by yourself thing. If you're never overcome by how good God is, it's just because you don't believe He's good. You don't know that He's good. And really, you know, I mean, I'm really going to be a little harsh here, but I don't know how in the world you can have any kind of hope for heaven and eternity if you don't even know that God is good. And if you know He's good, it's going to overwhelm your soul pretty often. Boy, one more verse and then I'll quit. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Psalmist said that long, long time ago. Oh my. Israel. The sweet psalmist of Israel said God is good. He's always been that way. He was Abraham's God. He was Noah's God. He was Abel's God. He was Moses' God. He's the same God. He's always been good. And he's good right now. And he's going to be good through all eternity, better than we can even imagine right now. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. You got to believe God's good. Got to believe that God is good. How can you lead somebody to the Lord if you don't really know and believe God's good? How can you have any faith that's going to get you to heaven, if you want to put it that way, if it's not based on the fact God's good? You got to have a balance in everything, but this is where you start. This is the starting place. God is good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. Oh, yes, he does. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. Amen. Amen. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. How true it is. How much happier we would be. How much easier our journey would be for us if we would just rest in your goodness. Believe it. Know it, and base everything on that. Have this as a way mark, as a marker that we always come back to. We know you're good, and so we can endure the hard things, the bad things that seem bad from where we're at. Lord, help us to get anchored good in this attribute of God. Lord, I thank you for it. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen.